Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Marketplace is supported by Putnam Investments, celebrating over 70 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Putnam Investments, a world of investing. Produced in association with the University of Southern California.
We figured on a Friday of a week like we've had, we needed to do something different, something real. So we're out on the road today where the actual economy lives. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Constellation, supporting customer choice and clean, efficient energy sources and technologies, working with customers nationwide to create a sustainable energy future. Constellation.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, which monitors mileage and safe driving habits to determine a personalized rate. Learn more at Progressive.com.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Glad to have you here on this Friday, everybody. It's the 12th of August today, and as you might have been able to tell, no Frank Stanton Studios for us today. We got on the interstate this morning, came down to the city of Commerce, a little way south of downtown Los Angeles, to try to catch a break, honestly, from all the ups and downs and backs and forths in the market this week, to get started on a project we're going to call The Breakdown, Our Economy, One Step at a Time. So, we've traded the comforts of our usual studio life for the wide-open warehouse of Abel's Auction Company, one of the many small and medium-sized companies here in a city whose very name means business. It's a tad quiet here now, winning bidders coming in to pick up their lots from yesterday, but 24 hours ago when we came to check it out...
Here we are, the Abel Auction House.
But when I was out here yesterday, it was anything but...
5, 25, 30, 30, 30, now 40, 40, now 50, 50, about 60, 50, now 60... Sold 6421.
There were a couple of hundred people here. Collectors, dealers, just the curious, and some regulars as well, like Amanda Loverin. How much do you pay attention to the economy and what's going on?
I pay attention to the economy. It's been quite a roller coaster. And
Are you feeling personally any economic squeeze?
Of course I am. Yeah. And the need to find a good deal is definitely important.
So let me ask you this then. How long do you think it's going to be before things are better?
How long do I think? I have no idea. I wish I was a psychic and I could tell everybody.
20, 30, 40.
There's a certain element of going through people's attics, which makes it a little weird. Yeah, what is that? Composition bust of a man. Yeah, I don't need that. As I browsed, I ran into Michael Gray. He's looking for art.
I liquidated my stock portfolio in October of last year, and I've done better in art than I ever did in stock. So
you wrote it down to the bottom of March 2009, and then it got back up, and you said, that's it, something bad is coming?
Yeah, I got out, I think, at just the right time, it looks like.
All right, so the good thing is they do label things, but they don't have any price tags. I don't know. And there's all kinds of, like, look at this thing. What is this? So this is a... It is called a 19th century French bonnetiere, and I don't even know what that means other than it's a big closet kind of thing, lined in very unattractive wallpaper. Todd Sherson's the fourth generation of the Abel family running this place. He started sweeping the floors here back when he was a kid. How's business been?
Business for us has been pretty good, actually. We've had a lot of luck, knock on wood. Some things are down and other things go up. The auction business is a funny business. For instance, a good instance would be armoires. 10 years ago, armoires were going for lots of money, easy sellers. Everyone needed an armoire, and now armoires are worth nothing.
I actually used to have an armoire with a TV in it.
And now you can buy them all day long here for a few hundred dollars instead of a few thousand.
And how, you might wonder, does an auctioneer know when things are picking back up?
When they start to buy more merchandise, it means they're selling merchandise. If they're selling merchandise, it means the housing market has been affected. It's really tied to the housing market, you know, through a few degrees of separation.
Picking up on the obvious Kevin Bacon segue here, that's exactly what we're going to do today. From an auction house outside Los Angeles, we're going to take apart the real economy, one degree of separation at a time. Step one is quite literally across the street, 2624 Yates Avenue here in Commerce, and a company called Nikonat. It makes office fixtures, furniture, basically, for retailers, Nordstrom to Dolce & Gabbana. About 50 people there, all of whom work for the company president, Vicent V, who's sitting right here with me. Vicent, good to see you.
Good to see you, Kyle.
How is business in a, what you have to say is a shaky economy? How you doing?
Well, as we all know, business has been a challenge for all of us in the last 3 years. It's been a great experience for our company to try to come out with new ways to keep alive and be profitable, more alive than profitable.
More alive than profitable. But what does it say that you have to keep thinking about those new ways? I mean, innovation is important and all that, but isn't there something to be said for being able to do business?
What is happening right now in our business depends on big decisions from the big retailers. Mm-hmm. If the retailers don't have the credit to open new locations, that means that we're not going to be able to get more business.
So were you paying attention when S&P downgraded the credit rating on Friday?
I have an addiction. I watch the market every day.
Oh, don't do that. No, it makes for a long week, man.
We depend on those big decisions. Our business really depends on those big decisions, so I do watch the market pretty much every day.
What about your employees? What are they telling you?
A comment that I always say is, as an owner of the business, I'm worried about the business because it's part of the future of myself, my family. Mm-hmm. But the guys that work for us, the employees that work for us, are also a family. So they worry about not being able to get their job secure, which is a challenge these days.
Yeah, no, I bet. Are you thinking about hiring? Are you confident enough in your business to go out and get more people on your payroll?
Our business has been lucky with the customers that we have. We just hire about 7 to maybe 10 new employees in the last 2 weeks.
Well, so that's pretty good.
What we're doing to make a change compared to other business, we are promoting a few things besides innovating our company. We are promoting that everything that we do is made in America. We are promoting that we are a green company that not just see that part as a marketing tool, I see savings.
As do a lot of companies, actually. Let me ask you one thing before we go. Are you confident? Are you uneasy? Or are you afraid? Where are you?
I'm a little bit afraid. Mm-hmm. We know what happened in the last few days with the market. Mm-hmm. It's bouncing, but that doesn't mean that it will keep in that direction.
Vicent V, he runs a company across the street from us here at the Abel Auction Company. It's called Nikonat. Vicent, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Work your way back up the economy from a small business like Nikonat to the cities that depend on them, like our home today, Commerce, California, and you start to see what all the market craziness this week and the downgrade from Friday is really doing. So let me tell you a little bit about Commerce. It occupies a total of 6 square miles, lots of warehouses here, light manufacturing of things like mattresses, off-road equipment, a casino that generates 40% of city revenues. It's just down the road. Jorge Rifa is one of the people responsible for managing the finances here. He's the city administrator for the City of Commerce. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon.
So let me ask you what it means for somebody like you, whose job is to assure that this city is on a solid footing, largely by helping those businesses get by, when the United States gets downgraded by S&P. What went through your mind on Friday?
Reflect back on the uncertainty of things. Certainly, like Vincent, we're looking at the movers and shakers on a national level, mm-hmm. and trying to pick up clues from them. And when you hear the chair of the Federal Reserve, Ben Bernanke, say, times ahead are uncertain, mm-hmm. it's something that we have to be concerned with. And how that translates into our own local economic picture and our revenues.
Translate it for me then. Were you thinking about Washington or were you thinking about Sacramento, the state capital, from whence a lot of, you know, things happen? Frankly,
the bigger worry is Sacramento.
Yeah.
Because Sacramento has basically put their hands in the city's pockets, in California's city's pockets.
Because we have such financial troubles here at the state level, right?
Yes. Yeah. We had a $28 billion deficit this year, and part of the balancing act was to eliminate redevelopment. And
Go ahead. Yeah.
They also balanced their budget on a $4 billion revenue assumption. And for me, it's a matter of connecting the dots, frankly.
Between what and what?
Well, the downgrade of S&P and how that gets translated into consumer confidence or lack of, and then what the retailers do and what business do, and then that doesn't materialize in revenues at the Sacramento level.
So let me run a phrase by you, get your reaction. Double dip.
Well, in better times, double dip was something you did with guacamole, right?
Yeah, that's right. Only my kids do it, but, you know.
But in this case, that is something that we're concerned about, but very serious.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also got certainly a lot of people at the national level who basically are saying it's too early to push that panic button.
What are you saying?
We've just got to be careful. We just adopted a budget that revenue-wise, $47 million and change, is almost identical from a revenue perspective to what the council adopted 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, we've had a high water mark of $52 million in terms of our general fund. So there's been this $5 million swing.
Well, and I guess we'll let it go there because we're out of time. But it's an interesting problem for the cities and states in this country. Jorge Riva.
It's good to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you. So as it happens, we've got a bond analyst here who's going to help us understand bonds, first of all, because they're a little bit tricky, but also why we have to care about them. Asha Joshi is with Payton & Riegel in Los Angeles, just up the road. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you heard what Jorge had to say. Give me the big picture now on credit in this country. The interest rate on the 10-year T-note is 2.25%. It's really low. Can't be so bad. Right?
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
Okay, what's another way?
Well, it can be so bad for some people with very high who are considered to be very high quality.
Right.
And also for a country that is also happens to have a reserve currency in the world.
Right.
So 85% of world trade is in U.S. dollars. And even though the U.S. GDP is less than 20% of world GDP.
Let me ask you the downgrade question, though. Did the downgrade matter?
The downgrade was expected.
Yep.
And in and of itself, generally speaking, when a credit rating agency downgrades a company or a country, it's expected by investors. So from that standpoint, no. But the fundamental reasons for the downgrade have been a concern for a while.
What are the bond markets worried about? I mean, let's step back. We've gone from small company to small city. Take me way back and tell me what the big bond markets are worried about.
The bond markets, every bond investor is worried about two things in terms of the borrower.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have the ability to pay, and do they have the willingness to pay?
Yeah.
So they want to look at, make sure that there's some growth and there's not too much debt on balance sheets. And so the bond market's concerned about the levels of debt in the developed world, primarily in the sovereigns.
We talked before we went on the radio about Europe. Tell me about Europe.
Yes. Europe is regularly been in the news, and it
regularly
seems like...
I love that. You took a minute to say that.
Europe is maybe it's their 2008, if you will.
Very quickly,
is the concern.
Does the United States look better in the bond markets than Europe does? Is that why we're still having 2.25% on the 10-year?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, the United States does, and largely because it is a reserve currency, and people need to put money somewhere, and 60%, 65% of central bank reserves are also held in U.S. dollars.
Asha Joshi from Payton & Riegel in Los Angeles on the World of Bonds. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you've ever shopped at Smart and Final, you might want to stay tuned. A conversation with President Dave Herz coming up. Retail in a reluctant economy. But first, just because, you know, it's Friday, let's do the numbers. As it happens, I'm not big on cliches, but man, oh man, TGIF. In a second update today, the Dow Industrials put on 1.1%, 125 points, closed at 11,269. The NASDAQ added 0.6%, 15 points, finished at 2507. The S&P 500 bumped up 0.5%, 6 points, ended the session at 1178. For the week that, oh, by the by, felt like a year, the Dow gave back 1.5%. The NASDAQ forfeited 1%. The S&P 500 unleashed 1.7% on the downside. Bond prices rose. The yield on the 10-year T-note fell to 2.25%, as I mentioned. And you're listening to Marketplace.
Marketplace is supported by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet. Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From the Marketplace Statebook, here's a look at events coming up Monday. The National Association of Home Builders releases its monthly report on builder confidence in the single-family housing market. President Obama spends 3 days in the Midwest talking to families and business owners about the economy. And it's a birthday party, sort of. The 60-plus Association holds a forum at the National Press Club celebrating Social Security's 76th birthday. I'm Michelle Phillippe.
This is Marketplace from APM American Public Media. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We're out on the road today in Commerce, California, to see how the other half of the economy lives. Not the high finance part with big-name CEOs and mergers and acquisitions, but the part where people struggle to hang on to their jobs and just try to get by. A week ago, depending on when you happen to hear this particular radio program, Standard & Poor's was either about to or had just dropped our credit rating from the gold-plated AAA to the only slightly tarnished AA+. Since then, oh, so much has happened, or nothing new has happened, depending on how you look at it. For our weekly wrap today, we've got the same crew on the job as we did last Friday. John Carney from CNBC and our very own New York bureau chief, Heidi Moore, live in New York with us. Hey, guys.
Hi,
thanks for having us.
So I'll tell you what, John, the big story this week obviously has been the markets and the downgrade. Our story today, however, is the real economy. We're out in Commerce, as you've been hearing. Make the connection between the real economy and what everybody's been paying attention to for me.
Well, I think actually what we've been seeing in the markets this week, the crazy turmoil, up, down, is actually reflecting a debate about what's going to happen in the real economy. We've gotten beyond some of the pure political issues to the Fed telling us all the economy looks very bleak and that they're going to have to keep interest rates down for a long, long time, much longer than a lot of people thought because of our poor economic condition.
Heidi Moore, what do you say?
Yeah, I think one of the things that is good that has actually come out of this whole crazy recession is that we understand that things are broken. We don't know how our economy is truly running. We can't measure a lot of it. And we know that it's not connected to how much money is made in the markets. And so that is a huge division that we have to somehow bring together so that when we prosper, at least we prosper together, which currently isn't happening at all.
All right, but I have a theory, and it goes something like this. And, John, I want you to weigh in. As soon as we have, I don't know, 3-4 days of piddling little movements in the markets, the Dow up 0.25%, the NASDAQ down 10 points, whatever, everybody's going to forget about the week that was, and everything's going to be, yeah, we're fine, whatever, blah, blah, blah. John?
No, I think that's right. There's a lot of very short-term thinking going on in the markets. But we do have serious problems, and the markets are getting nervous about those serious problems. both about joblessness in America, which and the lack of consumer demand. People are much more interested now, even if they get a raise, even if they get a tax cut, of using that money to pay down their debts rather than going out and buying things. And then we have all the problems in Europe, and one quarter of our exports goes to Europe. So if Europe sinks, that hurts America as well. We're realizing that in this global interconnected market, we're hurt. So I think that there's a little bit more of an awareness of, trying to address the more serious macroeconomic issues than there has been.
Heidi, let me pick up on something John said, consumer confidence. The number was out today. People are feeling better than they have since March. For anything to happen in this economy, people got to spend money, right?
Yes, it's true. But first, people have to get money. And so the really core issue is not how well consumers are spending, but how much they're making, which means getting unemployment down and getting more people in jobs. And currently, we don't have a plan for that. And until then, all of the measures that we use, like consumer confidence and home sales, are just wild guesses, because that is the core problem of the economy.
As long as people look around to their neighbors and see that they don't have that some of their neighbors don't have jobs, that a good many of their neighbors don't have jobs, and some of them are still losing their homes, they're not going to be confident. Nobody wants to spend a lot of money if they're worried that they're going to lose their job just like their neighbor did.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let me play it forward to next week on that general theme of we don't really know what's going on here. We're going to have a conversation on the show next week at some point about what we call this, just because psychology matters. And you guys get to weigh in first with your submissions, I guess, to the contest we'll be having. What do we call what we're in right now in the economy? John?
I'd call it Great Re-Depression. I know that sounds horrible,
but it's
gone on for so long at this point. We went through a recovery that never felt like a recovery to most people, and we're seeing once again Treasury's rally as people want to pull their money out of anything risky and desperately put it into the least risky asset they can find.
All right, Heidi, quickly.
I'd call it the great DIY, because we have a giant construction project ahead of us, a reconstruction of the economy, and we have to figure out how to do that without any instructions.
Doesn't roll trippingly off the tongue, though, great DIY.
It'll catch
I'm just
on.
Saying. Heidi Moore in New York. John Carney in New York as well from CNBC. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Kai.
Thank you.
The idea we had when we decided to come down here to Commerce was to go from small business to large with a stop along the way in the credit markets to see how the downgrade and Wall Street and mostly the real economic weakness that's out there are being felt. So we had Vicente in a small business from across the street. Dave Herz's business is also based here, but it's a big-name company. He's the president of the warehouse grocery store chain Smart & Final. If you've ever stocked up maybe for a party or a big to-do needing snacks and drinks, you probably shop there. Dave, thanks for coming by.
Glad to be here, Kai.
So I said retail in a reluctant economy. Is that what you're seeing?
I am, but really on the Smart & Final side of the ledger, sales are actually very good.
How good? I mean, are you setting records?
We're setting records. In fact, in the months of June and July, we had three record weeks within a five-week period.
All right, not to be a downer here, but after good things, bad things do come. what are you ready for? What are you expecting the second half of the year?
We actually have reforecast the second half of the year, and it's far more optimistic than our original projection. In fact, right now we're putting together our business plan for 2012, and we're optimistic going into 2012.
How can that? What's going on at Smart & Final that you're not feeling this?
You know, we're a little unique. We have about 234 stores, and we see about 1.5 million customers every week. Mm-hmm. But a third of those are small businesses, small restaurants, veterinarians, people that come to us for our large sizes, that type of thing. And about two-thirds are our household customers. So we see different things there. The business customer, in particular, has been, in our mind, feeling much better here the last 6 months than before. And the household customer, we're an EDLP, everyday low price operator, and people are looking for price, and we think that that's why we're growing that.
So are we getting into a situation then where you guys in the EDLP category, which is a new phrase for me, never heard that, you guys are doing well and the really high end's doing well and people in the middle are getting squeezed?
I would tell you that alternative classes of trade like us and other alternative classes of trade appear to be doing much better than, say, conventional grocery stores, yes.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I had the CEO of GM on the phone the other day. We're going to run that interview in a couple of weeks. And I said to him, you know, you're running a major industrial company in this country. How do we get out of this? And so I put now the same question to you, different business category, same fundamental question.
Yeah. Again, a lot of it really relates to consumer confidence and how are they feeling. But I'll tell you, particularly our business customers feeling much better than they were a year ago. A year ago, our business customers weren't buying two and three of items. They were buying really careful with how much they were buying at one trip. My average sale per customer with a business customer has gone up dramatically. They're feeling better about their business, and they're no longer worried about losing their business. They're actually pretty optimistic.
Are you doing so well that you're expanding and hiring?
Oh, we are definitely hiring. Yeah, with the kind of sales growth that we have, pushing double digits, we've definitely been hiring all year long this year and plan to do additional hiring in the future.
The president met with CEOs either yesterday or the day before, I forget, talking specifically about jobs and what the government can do. What do you want to see? What do you think policy ought to be that's going to get more jobs into this economy?
You know, I think that everybody ought to be concerned about government spending. I think that's the crux of the problem. But it really comes down to consumer confidence and consumers being able to have confidence that as the unemployment rate drops and confidence that they're going to keep the job they have today.
Yeah, but very quickly, how do you create jobs if you're President Obama?
I think you have to reduce spending. I think you have to lower taxes. I think you have to let small businesses continue to thrive. That's where the growth is going to come from. It's going to come from the small businesses that we help to support.
When?
Soon. Right. Soon.
Dave Herz, the president of Smart and Final. Thanks so much for coming out today, Dave.
Thank you, Kai.
All right.
Marketplace is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Putnam Investments. You can ask your financial advisor about Putnam 529 for America or visit Putnam.com/529. Additional support from the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism.
A final thought on the way out of Commerce this Friday about, of course, the topic du jour, the real economy and when it might get better. Since the experts haven't been able to figure it out, when I was here yesterday, I asked around. You remember Michael Gray, the guy that sold off all his stock 6 months ago? Did you swallow hard that day you decided to liquidate your portfolio?
Not at all. I mean, you cannot read the newspaper and look at what's on television and there's absolutely no sanity in it anymore.
Harold Nelson's retired, was here looking for bargains. He calls himself a realist.
It took us, what, 6, 7, 10 years to get in this mess? It's going to take us about the same thing, same time to get out of this mess. The whole nation, as one, got to come together and dig us out. We got to dig out slowly.
Two voices, obviously, in a much bigger story. But for now, that's Marketplace from APM American Public Media. Today, the Dow at the end of, I don't even know what to call this week, it packed on 125 points, 1.1%. The NASDAQ climbed 15.6%. The S&P 500 rose 6 points. That's about a half percent on that particular index. Special thanks today, obviously, to all our guests and all the good people here at Abel's Auction Company. Our theme music was composed by BJ Lederman. Marketplace is produced by Celeste Wesson, the executive producer of the program, at least for a while, is a guy by the name of J.J. Ewell. Coming up this weekend on our personal finance show, Marketplace Money, when the markets go crazy, and they always do, what should the average investor do?
We're trained to get away from things that are causing us pain. You know, if it weren't so, we would have been eaten by saber-tooths a long time ago.
Oh yeah, I feel much better now. Answers to your questions on how to weather the financial storms. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll see you back home in L.A. on Monday. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.